Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Yeshua, mighty name, Amon. We want to invite all of those who are joining us on iChurch in Spanish and in English. Thank you for joining us today. Hopefully, something that we say today might be of a blessing to you. I guess first today, we need to acknowledge what is going on in our area today. All of you are aware of the fires, aren't you? We need to be praying for all of those who are affected. This is a tragedy beyond tragedies. There is still 600 and some people who have not been accounted for. And they said that the last time I heard there was 73 people who they have found deceased. Our country has entered into an area of not believing science. And all of this is just the beginning of the tragedies of global warming. And I don't know how we are going to prevent these tragedies in the future. Not only fires in the area that is susceptible to fires, but also flooding, hurricanes. We are entering into an area of world disaster simply because the ignorance of American governments as far as it relates to the conservatives. And I say that because sometimes you have to name them in order to shame them. They are doing a disservice not only to the world, but a disservice to this country in many, many ways. But let's pray for those who are yet in shelters, those who have lost their homes. Pray that God would help them to recover. Amen. Amon? I wish we had some good news about natural government, but we don't. But I do have some good news for you today. God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. That's good news. Hallelujah. So today we're just going to, I know we're entering Thanksgiving, but I'm thankful every day. Not only for what God has provided for me, but that God is just good anyway. We ought to be thankful that He is God. Hallelujah. And so today we are moving from the table of shewbread. Would we put that picture of the table of shewbread up? And the shewbread represents the word of Yahweh. We have not expanded. I shouldn't say expanded. We have not exhausted the concept of the table of shewbread, the word of Yahweh. In fact, if we would be here for 6 months, we could still talk about it because everything is about the word. But we have come to a point where we should move on from the table of shewbread or the lehem panim, the bread of present. This bread remained on the table continually. The priest would eat the bread every day, and then new bread was placed on the table, signifying that the word of Yahweh is always present for you and is always fresh. Amen. You don't ever have any stale word because the word is always fresh. And the word of Yahweh has been exalted above his name. So it is very important. Now let's move to the menorah, or the golden lampstand. Bring it down, something's wrong there. I don't think that's complete, is it? Maybe it is, maybe I'm just, I guess it is. This lampstand represents the spirit of Yahweh. I think we can get a better picture of that. I think we can drop that down some and get a, because it looks like the top is cut off. Does it look like that? Yeah, it looks like the top is cut off, so it doesn't give us. Do we have another picture of the menorah or the golden lampstand? Well, next week we're going to have to do better than this. This is not good enough because it distorts the picture of the image of the lampstand. So the menorah or the golden lampstand represents the word of Yahweh. But before we go too deep into it, there are some auxiliary things that we should deal with about the menorah. This menorah is actually one of the great wonders of the world. This is carved in detail from one block of pure gold. No pieces joined together, no pieces soldered together. One block of pure gold was this made. This is an impossibility. It just is not possible for this type of detail to be made from one block of gold. But all things are possible with God. Many times we sell God short on what he's able to do in our lives. But God can take nothing and make something out of it. How many of you knew that? So this impossible feat, even if you had a machine, you couldn't do this detail. This impossible feat was only made possible because men yielded to God, and God was able to do something for them. Let's look, if we would, at the book of Smote, the 25th chapter. You would call it Exodus. I will call it by its true name, Smote. I hope that, and look, I'm only here preaching because of what has happened with Pastor Tom. We know he'll be back, and he'll be back in full force. He'll be back in full force. I can assure you that. So I'm standing in for him. And you all ought to be thankful that you have a pastor that has favor with God, that God would raise him up from a tragic situation, hallelujah, and show him to behold, hallelujah. I have no desire to take over the preaching, though I am a preacher. I have preached for many years. My son is really better than I. He won't acknowledge that, but he's better than I. But yeah, he did learn a lot from me. But you see, I'm old stuff. So for you young people who would like to know what old stuff sounds like, you got a chance. Enjoy it while you can. Hallelujah. So here, God, as you all understand, is building a dwelling place for himself on earth. And it is so intricate that man alone cannot do this. This is the preaching. When you see the tabernacle, it is a word picture of the gospel. So here, Yahweh is giving them instruction on this lampstand. The 35th verse, he says, and thou shalt make, he says, your candlestick, no such thing. Candles were not invented at this time. The Hebrew would call it the menorah. For us to better understand it, we would call it the lampstand. This is an oil lamp with wicks that burn. Now, most of you are not old enough to know, but there was a time when all we had was lamps. How many of you remember that, the lamps? Hallelujah. We had no electricity. And especially if you were raised in my area, back down in the country of Mississippi, we had no nothing. No electricity, no radio. Hallelujah. We had oil lamps. And so when the oil ran out, the light went out. Hallelujah. But we want to get a good picture of what this is. It's not a candlestick. And thou shalt make a menorah or a lampstand of pure gold, of beaten work shall the lampstand be made. His shaft and his branches, his bows, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. I skip down to the 36th verse. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. Every knop, let's go back to the lampstand. This does not really depict. There we go. There we go. Now you see it. Now you see it. Every knop had to be identical. Every one branch had to be identical to the other branches. And remember, you have no machines. All you have is the block of gold, and it has to be the same. It is an impossible feat to accomplish. But let's look at Smoke 31. Smoke 31, 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Yehuda. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. Now, don't get this mixed up with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here, God has the Spirit of God, and we'll talk about that later on. The Bible talks about the seven spirits of God. This is one of the attributes of the Spirit of God, and that is wisdom. So Yahweh say, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Notice it's a small s. It's not the big S talking about the Holy Spirit, but it's talking about an attribute of Yahweh. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. God says, I needed this to be made. Man in his own natural understanding has no chance of making it, but I have increased his ability divinely. Now watch this. Y'all want me to go slow or fast? Can I take my time? All right. You know, I know sometimes school is boring. Right? How many of you most all you went to school. But how many of you went to college? Did it get boring sometimes? Sometimes you really didn't want to go in there. And you knew that old history professor. I mean, you hated history. The difference in you and me, I loved history. You know, when you say history, I'm ready to go. So he says, I have called by name. I know him personally. Bezalel. And Bezalel means in the shadow of God. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunningly, meaning he's artistically works. To work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stone to set them and in carving of timbers to work in all manner of workmanship. And behold, I have given with him Ahalaah, meaning the dwelling of my father. So Bezalel is in the shadow of God, or in the shadow of Yahweh. Ahaliah is the dwelling place of my father. So these two men together is in the shadow of God in the dwelling place of the father. God, I just want to say that again. God is perfect. in all his ways. And behold, I've given him Ahalaal, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God gave men divine abilities in that day to complete his work, he gives men and women divine abilities in this day to do his work. There's only one problem. In this day, everybody wants to know what God can do for them. Are you getting it? What is God doing for me right now? I want to feel good. That's just backwards. We ought to be saying, what can I do for God? Because when you say that, that means you give yourself to God. Now God can divinely work on you. But if you don't ever give yourself to God to do something for God, God can't work on you. See, this is what our concern should be. Look at Tehillim 115 or 116. See, I have to get you in a position where God can help you, where God can work on you, where God can make something out of you that you were not before. God can give you abilities that you never had. But as long as we are looking at our own natural abilities to serve God in our natural ability, we won't be able to serve him sufficient. And so here is what the psalmist would say. The 12th verse of the 116th division of Psalm. What shall I render unto Yahweh for all of his benefits toward me? This idea of what can God do for me, he's already done something for you. He brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He forgave you all of your sin and the lowdown stuff that you did. He gave his only begotten son, who had done no evil, to be a substitute for you who were evil, that he might forgive your sin, bring you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What can I render unto Yahweh for all of his benefits toward me? Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, what can I render unto Yahweh for all of his benefits toward me? Thirteenth verse. I will take the cup of salvation. He's given me the cup to drink from and salvation. I'm going to take the cup of salvation and call upon the name First thing I will do, I'm going to take the cup of salvation, and I'm going to use that cup to call on his name. I will pay my vows unto Yahweh in the presence of all his people. I'm going to walk in the way that I told Yahweh I was going to walk. I told him I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to prove that in the presence of his people. The whole church is going to know that I'm keeping my vow to God to live for him. I need God to do something for me. No. You need to do something for God. That should be your attitude. God has been good to me. What can I render back to him for all of his benefits toward me? Now let's go back to Smote 31. Now, if you'll notice, God said, I have called Bezalel by name. And I have imputed to Bezalel divine abilities to work for me, to build not only the lampstand, but I've anointed him and given him divine abilities to work in wood, in stone. See, when you come to God, maybe your natural abilities are limited. But if you will have the right attitude and give yourself to God, he will give you divine abilities that you can work things out in him. You can do his work. You know, I would like to give you an example. This is a very special church. This church was founded to do a very special work for God. And God, if you notice, everybody under these two men, God gave them divine abilities to do his work. This church was founded in 1978 over on Western in Los Angeles. God gave us a building on Broadway. I'm going to show you what he did. He gave us a huge building with a huge parking lot. Right. And they wanted $225,000 in that day, because it was in South Central. It was run down. Everything was run down. But God gives you people with divine talents. And God gave me a man named Mass Northfleet, Deacon Northfleet. So Deacon Northfleet and I went to look at the building, and we walked out of the building, and I'm thinking $225,000 is a steal. Now, we ain't got no money. None at all. And Deacon Northfleet said to me, Elder, why don't you offer them $175,000? See, you got, when you really work for God, you're listening for God. When you're not so wrapped up in yourself, thinking you got all the answers. And he said that, and it struck me. And I said, I'll do that. I offered him $175,000, they took it. We had all this property. And we had this huge building. Went into the building, and just an open space. It had been an old market, open space. Everything was hanging down, wires was hanging down. And one of my friends came over, and I won't call his name because he might not want me to. And he said, I said, see what God has given us. And he said, oh, yeah. He bless you. Then he told me later on, I thought you were crazy to go into that. Here, this building just open, nothing there. We ain't got no money. In fact, I'll tell you how we got the money to put a down payment. I went back to the church, about 15 or 20 people we had. And I said, God has given us a building. We ain't got no money. We need you to bring us, me, whatever you got. God said to me, tell them to bring whatever they got. And if you follow this, you will see this is exactly how the tabernacle was built. God said, ask the people. And I asked them. And I had young men and women, about you guys' age over here on the right, some younger. That's all I had. I had a couple of older people, but it was young men and young women. I married them all. Some of them was out of high school, 19 years old. And they began to bring me what they had. One of them bought me her wedding rings. Bought me musical instruments. Bought me different rings and watches. And laid it on the altar. And I took it, and I took it out to Van Nuys to get it appraised. And here they spent maybe $2,000 for their wedding ring. And the man said, I'll give you $50. If you want the diamonds, keep them. Because they ain't worth nothing. See, you fellas realize those rings you pay $2,000 for, diamonds ain't worth nothing. And my heart said to me, the Holy Ghost said to me, you can't take this that these people have worked so hard for and sell it for $50. So I called them all back, had a little meeting, and I gave them all their stuff back. I said, I cannot in good conscience sell your wedding rings and your watches for what they're willing to give me for it. God told me to bring it back to you and for you to bring me money. These are young people. They just started working, 19 years old, just out of high school. And they began to bring money and lay it on the altar. $49,000 out of about 20 people. Young people like you guys over there. And we purchased the building. So we didn't have any money. We couldn't hire an architect or builders. God anointed me to be able to lay out in my head that whole building, where the sanctuary would be, where the bathroom would be, where the classrooms would be. And these young men began to work. Young men who had never done nothing, God anointed them to have an idea of what they were doing. And we worked 6 months, night and day. These young men would go to work, get off, come to the church, and we'd work all night long. Because they had in their heart, what can I render unto God for all of his benefits toward me? And one of them had an explosion in his apartment that blew out his front windows. His wife called him all disturbed. He ran home and looked at it and came back and worked all night on the building. God gave me Bezalel, who was Elder Parker. He was skilled in carpentry. I didn't know that. He was skilled in electricity. He was skilled in plumbing. And he gave himself to God to do that. And we build the house of God. We built bathrooms. We built classrooms. We built the sanctuary. We built offices. Because the people had given themselves to God, and God anointed them with wisdom and knowledge and understanding, divine abilities. And without an architect, without a blueprint, we built the house of God. Young men who had never done anything like that in their lives built walls 18 feet high, hung drywall 18 feet high. Until we finish building the house of Yahweh. When God's people give themselves to God, he divinely gives them abilities that they never had before. Many times we are looking at our own abilities naturally and fail to realize that God can give us abilities that we never had before. When we are dedicated to do his work, to do his will. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. I want to do his will. I just want to do his will. See, that's how Bezalel and Aholiab felt. We want to do what God wants us to do. So this church is an example of that. I don't know where Elder Parker got his carpentry and electricity and plumbing from. We have never talked about it. Maybe he didn't have it, but God gave him divine abilities. I don't know. But when we got ready to build the bathroom, it needed a header to hold up the upper level. He said, we can put it in. And they set the 4x4s and on, and then we put the header in there, which is about a 4x6, to hold up the entire building, entire second floor. He didn't have a blueprint. I just told him what I wanted. And they went about doing it. So when you see us here playing dominoes and chatting, you're not looking at normal people. You think you are. You look at us, you think we normal people. No, we're not normal folks. We're not normal folks. If you know what we accomplished, you know we're not normal. Yahweh has imputed to us divine ability. Now look at 2 Corinthians 9. And God wants to do the same thing. He brought all you young people in here to do the same thing with Pastor Tom. But it won't happen if you don't give yourself to him and give yourself to God. You're not here by accident. You're not here by happenstance. You are here because God sent you here that you might increase this church more and more under the pastorship of Pastor Tom Washington. But if you don't give yourself to God and give yourself to him, see, Elder Parker gave himself to God, but he gave himself to me as his leader. And when I said, this is what we want, he said, we can get it done. Deacon Norfleet was there to impute wisdom, and he had business sense. And he had this gift of love and compassion. And he'd say to me sometimes, Elder, don't be so hard on me. I'd look at him and I'd say, all right, D, all right. He kept me centered. Because, see, you got to respect somebody. You got to know that somebody knows things that maybe you don't know. So he kept me centered. 9:8. Second Corinthians 9:8. And God, or Yahweh, is able. Look at your neighbor's neighbor. He's able. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Able is, in the Greek, is dunateo, meaning mighty, to show oneself powerful. Abound is pariseu, the right to use what Yahweh has entrusted to excel. God is able, has the power to make all grace abound toward you, that you will excel. That you always having all sufficient in all things may abound to every good work. You don't know that, but God is able. You say, well, this is the way I feel. No, God is able to take that feeling out of you and put another feeling in you. Yeah. 11th verse. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to Yahweh. When you are blessed, then we can thank God for what he's doing. Hallelujah. And if God is not doing that for you, there's a reason. There's a reason. God is trying to help you right now, all of you, especially you young people who are sent here for a job to do. He's trying to help you right now that you would allow him to fix you so that when Pastor Tom say, this is where we want to go, you ask, how high? You don't ask why. You ask, how high? 1 Thessalonians 4, 1. Furthermore, 4, 1. I said 4th chapter, the first verse, 1 Thessalonians. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by Yahushua Mashiach, by Yahushua, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please Yahweh, so you would abound more and more. We have taught you how you should walk and to please Yahweh, so you would abound more and more. When you don't walk right, God can't help you. But we have taught you how you ought to walk. Second verse, for you know what commandments we gave you in Yahushua. For this is the will of Yahweh, even your sanctification. God wants you to be sanctified. And you know what sanctified means? Set aside for his use. And just stop being used by Satan and be sanctified to his use. That you should abstain from fornication. Boy, that's one of the big ones, isn't it? That's the big one. That's the big elf.
I can't help myself.
I can't help myself. Well, you know, it's not so bad. That's what they wanted, so I just gave it to them. You've got this kind of syndrome that you believe that you God's gift to women. And so because they want it, you give it to them. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I tell all young women that have come to me for counsel, you can't give your body to any man or to any man before you marry them. Because once you give them your body and you're not married to them, then they don't want to marry you no more, even if they wanted to marry you. You're not getting it, are you? If you keep yourself, God will send a man for you. The right man. Are you getting it? And I'm just going to be honest with you all. Might as well. No sense in holding back. Years ago, I had this. Had this one sister, every time a man walked in the church, oh, that's mine. I said, leave it alone. And so I had one sister, man, all she was just working for God. She wasn't even thinking about nothing, about no man. She working for God. And this new brother came in. And he said, Elder, I'd like to talk to you. And I said, okay, come on to my office. He said, would it be all right if I talk to somebody here? I said, yeah, it'll be all right as long as she's single and you're single. I said, who is this? And he pointed out this sister that didn't care about no, she wasn't looking for no man. She was just working for God. She was my children's church director. Now she's married to a bishop. Because he's become a bishop. But, and I said, oh, he told me. I said, oh, yeah. Fine young lady. And this other sister said, no, they're looking at him. And she comes to me and told me, he's looking at me. I said, no, he's not. I know who he's looking at. I don't know why I took this. I think I took this way because some of you need this. Uh-huh. If you're going to live for God, you got to understand this. Not fippers, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Not in this way, those unsaved folks out there that don't know God. They living away. You're not supposed to live like them. And I'll end it with this. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, what do he want us to do? Well, let's find out what Kepha said. First Kepha 1:13. I thought you said, well, I thought he was talking about the lampstand. I am. Here's what you do. 13th verse. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be bought unto you at the revelation of Yeshua Mashiach. It's not talking about the revelation of Yeshua Mashiach to get saved, but it's really talking about him being revealed in his coming. Gird up the loins of your mind. This is talking about the people of the East who wore the long garments down to their ankle. And people of the East, still many of them wear these long garments down to their ankle. But when it came time to run, they couldn't run with that long garment down around their ankle. So they had a belt. And they take that long garment and pull it up between their legs and tie it. Then they're ready to run. Your mind sometimes is flowing down with thoughts, just cascading down. He said, gird up the loins of your mind. Stop all this. What is this? What is this? Who is this? Ooh, ooh, what? Gird up the loins of your mind. Tie it up. And I'm going to finish. As obedient children, not fastening yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. Father Yahweh, as we look at the lampstand and we see the divine abilities were needed in order to accomplish that work. We know that the divine abilities is needed in order for us to do the work of Yahweh. We can't do that if our natural minds are flowing down, if we have not yet made the commitment to you and to the ministry. Help us. Help us to become those children who are divinely inspired and endued with your power, that we might accomplish your work in this earth. We thank you for that. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There may be someone here today, you're not saved.